Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have a wonderful show for you today. Our guests, just like yesterday, are calling in from all over the world. Yesterday, one of yesterday's guests was in Ghana. Today, we have a guest in the UK, a guest in Israel, and a guest right here in the good old USA. What I want everyone to do is just go ahead and share the live, support our guests, because they are taking of their time, their energy, their resources to be of service to you. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Dr. April J. Lisbon. Dr. Lisbon is an autism coach, strategist, and national speaker. Good morning, Dr. Lisbon.
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me today.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us. I love your background. I think today's show is going to be about backgrounds. Your dreams come true. I love it. That's definitely the message that we want to send. We have Marilyn Devanish, who's a coach, NLP trainer, trainer of hypnosis, EFT, EMO practitioner. Ooh, you do a lot. Good morning, Marilyn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Thank you. And thank you so much for the invite. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, you are so welcome. And then in Israel, with her hair blowing in the sea breeze, we have Professor Talia Mirenschatz, who yes. is a decision scientist and a medical decision maker. Good afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
And to you, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. And for the first time, we have a husband and wife couple who decided to join us together so they can tell us how they can help us through this crisis. We have Ed and Natasha Tatton, who are the co-owners of a bakery store brand, Bread Organic Sourdough. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're doing good. Yeah.
We'll see what's really going on. There's so much. When I first came up with this talk show, I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. It was around March 3rd. And I said, you know, should I do topics? Maybe there's nothing relevant going to be going on. And then all of a sudden, COVID-19 happened. And all of a sudden, that's all anyone has been talking about. And you watch it on social media, every post, every news channel. So what our guests have really been doing is talking about how their life changed, how it was, how it is, what things they've learned. So I'm going to ask that question. And I want to start for a particular reason. I want to start with Marilyn, because I was going through your bio, through your links. And one of the things I noticed is you actually have been providing tips to your social media followers. Can you give us some of the tips that you provided?
So there's probably three different aspects that we've been looking at so far. One of them is the whole thing about flexible working and working from home, because that's new for many people. And for the last, 2003, so the last 17 years, I've been going into organizations to help them implement flexible and remote working across the organization. So people have been asking about how do you work effectively from home? So one of my first tips from that is I definitely say set boundaries, because I think one of the things we're seeing now is people are starting to go a little bit stir crazy, because the days are just drifting into one and the days of the week seem the same. So I always say set boundaries and also have a threshold that when you walk into the space that you're going to be working in, even if that's your kitchen, when you have finished your daily work, clear all of that away. And as you step out of the kitchen, you've finished working. And I'd say that's one of the big things, just to help people get structure. And in terms of mindset and inspiration and motivation from the coaching side of things, so I have been a coach and therapist for the last 20 years now. Simple things. I've been for the last 20 years prescribing what I call the hashtag dance break, where back in the day, you'd get your Walkman then you get your iPod, now you go to YouTube. And I just say to people, look, if you need a pick me up or a break in the day, like you've just finished this task, before you go just headlong into the next thing, go to YouTube, choose a track that you like. Even if you're sitting down, you can still do a bit of side to side action, but just move and just dance, because in lockdown, that's the one, we've been deprived of going outside. So, you know, and music has a way of kind of stimulating the brain and the body. It will change your state immediately. And then from there, you kind of go, what's next? So I would say those are a couple of the practical things just straight off the bat that everybody could do and put that into practice. And it just starts to change the dynamic. And if possible, use the technology that you have at your fingertips, because I've been seeing coaching and therapy clients online since 2005, which is a long time. And the technology was nothing like we have now. So FaceTime, Skype, Facebook Live, old school telephone, keep in touch with people, because people really appreciate, even just send a little message, hey, thinking about you today, how are you doing? You will find that it lands at just the right moment. And that person will say, oh my God, thank you so much. Because maybe they were in the grips of loneliness and wondering, is anybody out there and does anybody care? So on those three fronts, those are the first couple of tips I would share.
I love the tip. So let me ask you, you mentioned that you've been working from home for years. And for me, I've been at home for years. So this isn't anything new to me. But what changed is, you know, I'm doing my typical work at home. And then all of a sudden I have to go to the grocery or go pick something up. And everyone is wearing face masks. And it's like a whole different planet that I'm on. Did you see or feel any changes personally?
Personally, it's a bit weird, because there were some memes going around that say this is the moment where you realize your life was a little bit like lockdown. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the way that I work, no, because I've been running workshops online for probably about 4 or 5 years now in terms of video webinars, because I've got clients all over the world and not everybody's willing to fly to London, although many of them are. So in that respect, it's not different. I'd say that the real thing that I've noticed is it's a bit like kids. If you say to a child, you can't have that, don't touch that, it becomes the thing that they want, you know, and now it's the obsession. And so I think the thing that I've noticed most is just the loss of freedom of movement, where when we went out, we do this thing called clapping for the NHS at 8 p.m. One day a week. So yes, we were out and we were all clapping, and my neighbor shouted off and said, oh, how are you managing without your exercise? Because she knows I just go for a little jog around the block. Mm-hmm. So things like that, or just going, oh, I've only got 2 eggs left. Normally I just get up, go out the door, and go and get my eggs. So now I'm like, oh no, well, have to make a big old plan, or like Marilyn, live without eggs. So in that respect, in terms of the personal freedom side, and you know, the things I'd be doing, I've got a members club in London where I work when I want to get out of the house. So just not being able to do those things, I'd say that's the key thing that's been the really big difference in terms of that sense of I can go where I want, I can do what I want whenever I want without having to worry about my own personal safety, or that I might be a danger to someone else. So I'd say that's the biggest change for me in terms of the current situation.
In the UK, are you now unable to run around the block?
We can still run around the block if we want to. My thinking around that is, because I live on a street where, I'll say this quietly, they're not the youngest bunch of people. Now I'm 51, so I'm not a spring chicken either, but they're an older demographic than me. And I've already had to say no to my neighbour in terms of going around for dinner, going around for a glass of wine in the garden, popping, you know, I've had, because she, you know, they just want to connect. And so my thing is, I don't want to be, I felt bad going, no, I'm not coming around. No, I can't. And even last week when we were out, she came to walk towards me and I said, stay right there. You know, so it's more of that when you run into people, the natural tendency is yak, yak, yak. And before you know it, so I'm like, you know what, Marilyn, stay in the house as much as you can until you really, and I've got an exercise bike and all the rest of it. So I'm like not devoid of things to do, but so I just go and stand on my doorstep and just take in the fresh air, look at the sky and just kind of go, okay, I'm outside. That's good enough for now.
Wow. Boy, am I glad I asked that question. So you're basically hiding inside from the people around you. I tell people I've trained for this time frame because I love my personal space. That's one thing that is different I've seen from at least East Coast, West Coast, you know, in New York, in Boston, in that area. If there's, you know, there have to be 30 people on the elevator in order for that elevator to be full. California, one or two, we're like, we're good. Like, we're big on personal space. So I can definitely understand, and I'm enjoying this social distancing. Sorry for all the losses that people have had, but the social distancing definitely works for me, which brings us to Professor Talia. One of the things that you mentioned was that you're a medical decision maker.
Right.
So give us a little background for those who don't know what a medical decision maker is and how you're being utilized to benefit the world at this time.
That's a great question. You know, I would actually love to be utilized a bit more, and I would have loved to be utilized beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we started out with COVID-19, people were dismissing it. And I think that's very typical of how we look at health risks. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we have kind of a binary approach. We're not very good at understanding that something is putting us at risk. So if it's a small risk, we have a hand movement for that. It's like, whatever, you know, I don't care. I'm ignoring it. And that's what a lot of world leaders did. President Trump did it. Boris Johnson did it. I hope he gets better soon. But that's how they felt about it. They said, you know, whatever, it's a small risk. Yeah, I'll ignore it. I'll ignore it for now. And then it hit them. And then it hit them big time, not just personally, but nationally. And when you start looking at the danger and you start counting the dead, that's awful. That just becomes awful. And then the hand movement from this goes to that. It's like, oh my God, oh my God, you know, freaking out here. What am I going to do? I have to take care of this. It's a massive crisis. I have to handle it. And that's what they're doing. I think that in a way is very typical of how we deal with risks. For example, I hope none of you guys is a smoker, but if you are, you know, it's just one cigarette. It's like, whatever, no big deal. But sometimes people get hit with very nasty stuff because they smoke. And then from I don't care becomes, oh my God, but it's a bit too late. So I think if there's anything really, if there's a lesson, it's a very expensive lesson to learn. It's a nasty way to learn it. But if there's anything we can learn, is that when there's a risk, please, please don't ignore it. Just look at it, handle it, manage it. It's more manageable when it's small. That's the thing. You know, had we just jumped at Corona in the beginning, had we done lockdowns earlier, had they done lockdowns earlier around the world, Italy, other places, things would have been different. I wish that it happened. You know, it's great that it's being handled very strictly now, but we were ignoring it for a long time, and ignorance isn't really always bliss.
I definitely understand. So on a daily basis, so is medical decision making your business or your entrepreneur? Is this what you do on a routine basis?
It's everything. It's my research. So I'm a researcher at I'm a researcher in Israel, and I'm also a visiting researcher in Cambridge University. So that's my research side.
So since you're a researcher, I don't know, times may have changed. So you may do a lot more on the computer, a lot more research on the computer as opposed to out and about. How has the quarantine affected you and your research?
It hasn't really. Although some things have come to a halt, we were in the middle of a study about birth and women's birth experiences. And well, guess what? Women don't really care so much about their birth experiences a couple of years afterwards when they're in the middle of the coronavirus crisis. So we just stopped the study. We said, it's fine, we'll get back to them later when it feels more relevant. And likewise, there's a study that I was going to start with cancer patients and their caregivers. And we said, you know, their mind is elsewhere. We'll just wait. And that's fine.
So you're waiting on your research. One of the common themes for just about every guest on every show I've done these last couple of weeks is that this situation has been like an incubator, and it has brought out their creativity. Since you have been unable to do your research or your projects, what other things have you been able to focus on?
So you mentioned that I'm an entrepreneur, and I am. I have a startup company. It's called Buddy and Soul. Buddy like a friend and soul. And in it, we created many tools for people to feel better about themselves Some of it is medically. It's around managing a medical condition, emotionally managing it, figuring out how they feel about medication. And some of it is super relevant right now. And I'm happy and excited to spread the word about that. It's things like stress management. Mm-hmm. Hello. I mean, I don't even need to explain why that's relevant. It's something else. It's about creating a pleasant reality. It seems ironic, right? I mean, you're locked at home. People are dying. What's going on? Who's this delusional person talking about a pleasant reality? But the truth is, if you can make it pleasant, that's gonna help. A small change can go a long way. So what I'm doing now is I'm trying to spread the word as widely as I can, to give as many things as we can for free, just for people to use and enjoy and benefit from, because we want to give back during these difficult times.
So those resources are available on your website?
They are, and I can send them to you as well, like to the Ask Sharifa program.
Okay. Happily. Well,
everyone who watches can enjoy them.
Thank you. We'll be sure to pass along that information. Dr. Lisbon, I want to move over to you. On one of the earlier shows, we had one of the parents, his son was on the spectrum, and he was explaining how children in general, this is a hard time for them. They don't understand virus. They don't understand the level of what we're going through. They definitely do not understand being quarantined. But he was explaining how his son being on the spectrum, it was, you know, 10 times, 20 times worse for him. What has been your experience? And were you currently working at a school and now you're at home? What is this process like for you, Dr. Lisbon?
Absolutely. So I work as a school psychologist in public education. So for me, a lot of our kids who are on the spectrum, their routine, parents' routines, everything is upended at this point. And so it's very difficult to literally explain to your child that what you're normally used to doing as far as brushing your teeth, you know, eating your breakfast, getting on the school bus, meeting with your friends and your teachers, that's hard to describe and define for them. I know, because I'm also the parent of an autistic child, we are to a point where we're kind of sort of struggling with trying to determine how to even do work. You know, what does work look like for us? Because I'm not his teacher. He knows that. And he will tell me, you're not my teacher, you know, and he's not trying to be rude. He's not trying to be cruel. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not a part of his routine when he's at school. And so for parents who do have not only children on a spectrum, but any type of learning difficulties or children without learning difficulties, this process of not having their normal is creating high levels of stress for some children, levels of anxiety. Some kids are excited, you know, that they're like, woohoo, you know, I don't have to go to school. But I think the more days that continue to progress, kids are getting to the point where they're trying to figure out, well, how do I interact with my peers? You know, will my best friend still like me? Will that person still be my best friend? So things that we never even thought about when the virus actually hit and schools started to close down, we're now thinking those processes, not only as educators, but also as parents as well.
Now, one of the things that I love doing what I do, I wake up every morning like, oh, I love my job, but I learn so much. I'm in California and my aunt, who her granddaughter is around 12 or 14. My aunt was telling me that they gave them these huge packets that the parents had to print out. And she was going to take it to like a FedEx or a Kinko's or something and print it. And it was basically 200 pages. And I'm like, okay, do you have any idea how much it's going to cost you to print out this packet for your granddaughter? And so when I explained it to her, she was in shock. So I was telling one of the guests on the show who just so happened to be in Austin. And she said, well, at least they received a packet. She said in her school system, they sent the kids home and told them, teach them something. Like that was the extent of what they said. There was no packet. There was no guidelines. Just, you know, teach the kids something. What is it like and where are you located?
I'm actually located in Virginia, so I'm right outside of the Washington, D.C. area. And I think a lot of school districts do things differently. So for example, my particular school district where I actually work in the same school district as my children attend school. Mm-hmm. We knew in advance that our schools was going to close the Friday before the children went out on spring break. So our teachers had that Friday to prepare 2 weeks worth of learning materials that they just uploaded into the children's, what we have, Google Classroom. So whatever the learning profile platform was at the regular school, our teachers had 2 weeks of materials to upload to the students. Now, I will tell you, we are officially on the first week of, you know, of learning materials for our students that were not uploaded prior to us going out on spring break. And so our teachers have been doing a phenomenal job as far as finding different websites, free websites for families to utilize in order to teach the children, you know, continue to have them engaged with the reading, the math, and the science. A lot of the content that they're doing at this moment in time is nothing but review work. So there's no new learning instruction. It's just to keep the children motivated and excited about learning. However, there are some families who are a part of what we call the digital divide, where they do not have access to internet. And so it's very difficult and challenging for them to be able to access the internet or access those websites. So some of the things that we have done within our school district are we have not only created the learning packets, and we're only doing those on a week-to-week basis for each academic areas. And there's a system that our schools have put into place so that parents have accessibility to the hard copies of it. Some children, if parents do not have computer access at homes, our schools are actually loaning those MacBooks out to the students. And of course, parents have to sign a contract agreeing that, you know, they won't sell the laptops. You know, they will make sure that they take care of the laptops because they do have to be returned back to the school. And for those parents who were not able to access the free internet, our schools are actually providing what we call hotspots, where if families are inside of their cars, they can actually access the internet from their cars. So we're doing as much as possible in order to ensure that our students are actively engaged in learning. But I do know, once again, every state is different, every district is different. And really, it all depends on when the schools actually close down. You know, I know in some states where I have friends who still have children in school, their districts still have not shut down school. Where I live at in my state, the governor shut down the entire school system. So our teachers have enough time and flexibility to prepare for the next materials. But once again, it just really all depends on what the state superintendents decide and how quickly can teachers find those resources to upload online as well as, you know, make things readily accessible for families.
Wow, that's wonderful. Good information to know. I'm trying to stay on top of who's doing what where so I can provide and pass along that information. So we have Ed and Natasha, and I've been doing these last couple of shows. I don't know why, but I want to leave the brick and mortars for last. And the reason is because everyone comes on the show, like myself and entrepreneurs, not that you're not entrepreneurs, but we're used to working at home. So I'm kind of making an assumption with bread, organic sourdough, that at some point you left your house.
Yeah, we have to leave the house almost every day to go to the bakery, which is mm-hmm. kind of nice because it's only a 4-minute walk away. So mm-hmm. it's quite a quick trip. It sort of stretches the legs. And then we can lock ourselves in there to sort of work online or prepare for the week's bake.
But we have had to move to doing a lot more stuff online. So we're really grateful that we only had one computer before. Now we've had to buy another one. So mm-hmm. That was a good investment. On the 15th of March, we closed our bakery. It was operating as a cafe. So just to give you a bit of background, we're up in Canada, we're in Whistler. It's a big ski town, and our bakery is at the bottom of one of the gondolas. So we had loads of tourists. We had a lot of American tourists. We had a lot of Canadian tourists. And we're about to get loads of Europeans come over from the UK and places for their ski holiday at Easter. And we were just like having such a great winter, tons of people. We just hired new staff. It was all going really well. And then all of a sudden, the ski resort, which is owned by Vail in Colorado, they closed down. And they shut down all their mountain operations. They shut down all their cafes, restaurants, hotels. They even own like some of the Starbucks. They closed those down. So that was on the Saturday. So on the Sunday, we had like a killer day. We were sold out early because all the people that would go to Starbucks, they're coming to get coffee from us. And it was like a great, great day. And then within 24 hours, we'd closed the bakery, laid off all the staff, and we'd launched an e-commerce platform. So we were selling stuff online. So we had this little website, but we didn't do much with it before. But now it's like our shop. So we are basically making sure that our loyal local customers, the people that live in this town year round, are getting good quality bread and then pizza dough and a few other items like with coffee beans. We have like some other retail things like jam and pasta. And it's a whole new learning curve for us because we never sold like that before. We never communicated with customers that way before. Everything was very old school. It was face to face. And we had an Instagram platform, so we've been trying to integrate the shop through that, and that's a whole other like minefield as well. Mm-hmm. But it's also been quite nice to have this time to spend on updating our website. And we tried to take advantage of this like wave of support for local businesses at the moment. Like, it's a really good time to connect with your customer base, and build some more rapport. Like, because of the online system, we're starting to learn the names of some of the customers we didn't know the name of. Mm-hmm. And they're just like coming in and they're just so thankful that they can still get bread.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is that process like? Are you shipping the bread? Are you delivering the bread? How do they receive the bread?
So they go online and they can pay online. So we take orders all through the week and we close the orders on Friday at 8 a.m. Okay. And then they get, now we've set up a new system so they can choose a pickup time on Saturday. So each customer gets a 5-minute window. So we prefer to use the term physical distancing because social distancing, if anything, some people have become more sociable. I know I speak to my family in the UK even more now just to see how they're doing and, you know, what they've been up to, what's happening on the news. So every customer gets a 5-minute window. So they come in, their order is already pre-packaged, ready to go with their name on it. And they're not around any other customers. So they have the time to collect their order and then sort of go and pack up their car. So it's working really well.
Wow, it sounds interesting. But again, it goes back to that creativity. You had to create a process in order for you to sustain your business. And it sounds like you did a wonderful job. Now, again, you're the first husband and wife couple, the first two people in one slot that we have. And one of the things that we have been discussing is going stir crazy. You know, a lot of people talk about how, I had one guest who he worked from home and his wife traveled a lot and she was never home and he enjoyed having the house to himself. Now all of a sudden they're quarantined together. So it's a whole new experience. Have you found this to be a new experience for the two of you?
Well, we were working together side by side. So Ed would be, it's an open plan kitchen concept. So the customers, when they're in the shop, they can see the bakers making all the bread and baking, and it's a lot of theater involved in that really. And so we were in the same space and I would be more front of house and Ed's obviously the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we got some experience working together, but yeah, I mean, our schedules were slightly different. Like Ed would normally be there earlier than I would, and I would close the shop later and he'd go home. But there have been a couple times, so I've been like, you know, haven't you got anything to do at the bakery right now?
Like I said, you know, I've got close. Some. You should go.
Yeah, and like some of the admin stuff, like when I'm dealing with customers, like if I'm sending a bulk email to everyone, like reminder, don't forget to pick up your bread tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I have to like focus to make sure that I'm making that like a blind copy email and not sending everyone's email address. That kind right. And Ed will just be chatting to me like, oh, so I've got this really cool idea for hot cross buns. How about like, have you ever had a hot cross bun with carrot in it? And I'm like, what? So like, do you want to just like think about that quietly in that corner while I'm doing that? So definitely getting used to a sort of new approach to work, and it's nice that we still have the shop, because even though 6 days a week, no one's in the shop except for us, it's like we're going to work, and when we're in the shop, you know, we're doing work stuff. But at the same time, if people see us in the shop, they'll try and come in. There's people that still don't really know what's going on. There's still a few oblivious people around. Sometimes people come up from Vancouver, from the city, and they think that, oh, Whistler's outdoorsy, you know, it's safe. It's safe to be outside. So they'll just be strolling around looking for something open.
Wow, interesting. It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun. As the idea person I see back there. So you got all this creativity flowing while you're trying to do your work. So I definitely get it. One of the things that we talked about on yesterday's show was the SBA loans that a lot of people are commenting on. Has anyone looked into the SBA loans, utilized the SBA loans?
In Canada, there's a 75% wage subsidy that the government are implementing. We would be eligible for that. There is an emergency loan package for businesses that have completely closed their doors. But because we're still operating, I mean, our mission as a company is to deliver high quality, organic, healthy and delicious bread to mainly to the locals. And then as a sideline, we have an espresso bar and cinnamon buns and lots of treats that tourists would come and get as well. We have a lot of part-time locals here, people from Seattle, people from Vancouver that come at the weekends, and then they want to get bread just for breakfast, whatever. So we felt that we should keep on serving our community as best we can. And we felt that it would be better for us to build rapport with our customers, work on our online business. That's something we could keep going when we open the doors. And we felt that we shouldn't shut down completely and go for one of these emergency loans. We felt that to keep ourselves working, keep improving our business and be eligible for the wage subsidy, that would be better for us. But Canada has got a lot of things. Just this week, they came online and you're able to apply for them now.
Right. Marilyn, do you have any work with any of your clients or people with the SBA loans?
I really think I know it's probably another 2 to 3 months before a lot of this really does come on stream. So there's a lot of talk about it, like my clients who are in jobs, they've had a thing that they've been what they call furloughed. So they were all sent home, and now the next level of that is that they're not allowed to work, because if they work, then the government can't, their organization can't claim from the government. And I think there's a lot of gray areas, because there are a lot of small business owners who, as I've been seeing a lot online, they just plow the money back into the business. So now when it comes to getting 80% of your profits, there's really not that much profit there. So they're in a position now where it's like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And then there are lots of them that just fall into a gray area who really won't be getting anything. So I don't think I think because there's so much going on in terms of you're not allowed out, the threat to your health, the age, because it used to be, okay, people 70 and over, they're the ones who need to worry. Now the stories are coming out that that's changing a little bit. And I really think that wave hasn't hit people yet. So they haven't really, I mean, just this morning, it's right here. This morning is when the letter from Boris Johnson arrived. So this came this morning. So I think now it's just starting to kick into gear. And I don't think people have had enough time to actually understand the ins and the outs and the implications and who can apply for what. And I know people I've spoken to have said, they've just been tied up in red tape, or these systems are overloaded. So if you ask me in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, I'll probably have a better steer on that. But at the moment, I think people are just in like, let me just deal with what's going on right this second. And that's going to be the next thing that I think that people really start sort of looking at a bit more closely.
Okay, so that means you're going to come back in 3 or 4 weeks and give us an update.
I can do that.
Thank you. Because I'm trying to help people. That's my goal, like find resources. What can we provide to people? And I think that's what Professor Talia was talking about earlier, is the delay in responding. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, Professor Talia.
So yeah, I was talking about that in the context of any medical decision we make. So there are two things I wanna give. One is really with regards to anything medical, anything you can think of right now of a great way to take care of yourself, please be kind to yourself and do it. it's a great time. I mean, it's a terrible time and it's stressful and we're stuck at home. And if you have small children, it's even harder. And if they're autistic, my heart goes out to you always and now in particular. But if you're still capable of dealing with anything, it's a great time to start a reset. I think that's kind of what I've been working toward. I'm developing a webinar series on what are we learning from COVID-19. I'll come back and talk about it when it's
thank you. Come back.
I'd love to, because I think the world has changed completely. It's like upside down. An image that I chose for the webinar series is just the world standing on its head, upside down. The sky is under, the trees are above. What's going on here? Everything is different. But we're eventually we'll be back. We'll be back on our feet. The sky will be above and the trees will be below. And what I hope for us, for all of us, is that we will have emerged from this stronger, better, kind of an improved version of ourselves. So with medical decision-making is that we'll understand and we'll say, you know, I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking about death and corona, but maybe I have diabetes. Maybe I should take care of that. Maybe I'm not exercising. Guess what? I grew up in a very small apartment. My bedroom was tiny and I would exercise every day for an hour. I had a tape, had a cassette, and I would exercise and I would run. You can do it, seriously. I mean, that's a great way of like getting yourself to do stuff and to take better care of yourself health-wise. The other thing I wanna talk about, and it's related to body and soul, is the fact that we are now relying on our resources, on our financial resources, but also on our mental resources. So to the degree that you can pull yourself together and you can do something with this time and you can lift yourself out of the despair and the uncertainty and the fear, which are all very legitimate, if you can do that, you can make something out of your time right now. You can maybe even benefit from it. You can make it be not as terrible. So because I work a lot in the medical space, I see that people expect patients, oftentimes they tell them, you know, take better care of yourself. And I always think that's preposterous because you're saying that and you're not giving them tools. So I created tools with things like I mentioned before with stress, but also around habits, how to create habits, how to strengthen your willpower. These are things that if you have them, if you work on them, if you exercise them, they're going to help you. They're really going to help you now through this crisis. Because if you build good habits, you know, like Ed and Natasha, you mentioned, you go to the store, you do things, it's, you have a routine. Yeah.
You know, don't lay in bed all day because then you sort of enter in this lethargic state. And I think it's nice if you can to get up with the sun and appreciate the sunrise, but you have that sort of drive to sort of, what am I going to do with my day? And yeah. I mean, if you look at things like you say, your resources, if you look at like your local library, for example, here in Whistler, the library are offering free courses online. If you have a library card membership, it's through a website called lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A. And you can pick a subject that you've been interested in and you can, you know, start learning about it. We've had a lot of people buy flour from our bakery. We never sold flour before. Now we're going into more of a grocery store type concept. And we found a lot of people are getting into home baking and now they're buying recipe books from us on how to start a sourdough starter. And this is great because people do need to start, you know, learning more about nutrition so they don't have these health problems that you're talking about with diabetes or these other things that are massive killers as well. And you know, finding something to occupy the time. And they'll come out of this and they'll be more knowledgeable. They'll have another skill. You know, there is a time of opportunity for people. You know, don't sit in your little pit of kind of, you know, why me and why is this happening to me and be angry about it. It's just, how can I turn this into an opportunity?
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, and I'm trying to give people tools to do that. Because it's hard, because you need to pick yourself up and sometimes you need a very big lever to pick yourself up, not just because you're big, just because it's so, it feels heavy. It feels very heavy. So with willpower and habits, it's a great way of lifting yourself from
where you agree. Definitely agree. I think one of the things that happened to me was kind of interesting is right about the month before all of this happened, I was in this phase of wanting to improve myself physically. I did a 5-day juice fast. And then I went back to making sure I drank more water. I'm eating my spring mixed salads. And I was in this phase. And then all of a sudden everything hit. And I had Costco pizza this morning for breakfast. You know, it's like
Eureka.
I did. I'm being honest. Like all of a sudden, it's like I wasn't in that mindset for the salad. I mean, Ed, you can relate. I know Ed's feeling me. Ed's with me this morning.
5 a day for sure.
He's got cold pizza in the fridge right now. He's been thinking about
exactly. But I mean, it just changed for me because I don't know why, because of everything that's going on. So I couldn't really focus on the health aspect. Has anybody else had that experience, or am I alone in this quarantine?
No, Sharifa, I am right there with you. You know, one of the things that I realized at work was that my coworkers were my accountability partners. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to lunch and ensuring that everyone in the office, you know, ate healthy 4 days out of the week, and then one day we had that one cheat day, you know, it really helped us as far as creating a space of healthy living so that we, you know, had a positive mindset and we were working the way we needed to for our students. Now that I don't have my colleagues with me, you know, I've eaten like a whole box of saltine crackers and, you know, things that I traditionally would not eat. It's like I'm just eating for the sake of eating because I don't have the communication anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm right there with you. I haven't gotten to the cold pizza yet, but
don't get there.
But hey, I'm eating the children's snacks. I mean, Cheetos, Doritos, anything that I would have normally not have eaten while I was at work. I'm doing it now because I'm trying to fill in those gaps, those mm-hmm. gaps where, you know, I would be working and, like I said, working with students, working with colleagues, just connecting, you know, so not having that accountability is almost like giving me space to kind of sort of pig out just a little bit.
Yeah, I went with Marilyn to discuss that, response to that. But I wanted to say, for me, I always knew that I'm an emotional eater. You know, I am an emotional eater. So if I'm going through something, I'm like, okay, I need something to make me feel good. And so I was in this mindset of, okay, you have to be healthy. I just turned 44 on the 31st of March. I was in this phase of, you know, you're getting older. You have to, you know, improve your diet. And then when I got quarantined, all of that went out the window. I was like, we may not make it through, you know, who knows? So, you know, I'll take those Cheetos as opposed to eating the salad. Marilyn, what has been your experience, or what have you seen?
I think for me, because this journey started a long time ago, I'm 51 now, and this probably started in my mid-20s where I was ill, kind of medically induced, that's a whole other story. But I went from being a natural size 8 to a size 16 pretty much overnight. And my skin, I used to have really beautiful skin. I turned into pizza face girl talking of pizza. Sorry, I don't want to put you off, Ed. So everything went to pot. And I got to a stage, I hated even looking at myself. And so I didn't want to go to the gym because I was embarrassed. And so I remember I sat on the sofa one day. We have like soap operas here. Like back in the day, you guys might have had Dallas and Dynasty. We still have got something called Coronation Street. And I'm on the sofa having just eaten a load of whatever because I just feel terrible. And my brain says, look, there's a commercial break now. Mm-hmm. You could stretch out that mat and just have a stretch. So I was like, oh, okay. The next commercial break's like, well, you're stretched now. You're nice and warm. You could maybe just do a few sit-ups. I was like, oh, okay. Next commercial break or the end of the show. Well, you're starting now, you're warm. Maybe you could just do a couple of press-ups. And I swear it started. I just started doing tiny little bits in the break. And then to stop myself eating everything under the sun because I was not feeling good, I decided I just played substitutions. I was like, all right, then you can have the Mars bar or the Snickers or whatever it is. However, before that, you've got to have an apple or an orange or something. And so the deal was I could have whatever I wanted after I had the fruit or the whatever. And then I started to find at first, I just have the fruit and scoff that down and then go for what I wanted. But eventually the real, you know, the digestion, et cetera, started to kick in. And after I'd had the couple of, you know, an apple and a tangerine, my body was like, I don't need anything else right now. And then it started saying, I really think you're thirsty and you're dehydrated. So I started drinking more water. And I found then that the substitution window got longer and longer and longer. So yeah, probably still have the Snickers or the Mars bar, but not in succession. It came a bit later. And actually, because I played the substitution game, I was then slotting things in between. So I was still getting not quite my five a day, Ed was talking about, but probably let's say two or three a day. And I always say to people, look, that was better than nothing a day. And because I, you know, it took me probably, I probably did that for about a year and a half, just very quietly in the breaks, in the commercial breaks. And I just remember the day I'm walking through town, I run into a guy I've not seen for a while who I used to work with. And he said those words, hey, have you been working out? I'm like, no. And then I thought, oh my God. And I suddenly realized that my little bits in the commercial break started to make me look as I've been working out. And I'm like, man, this is cool. So then I wanted to do a bit more of that. And so now I am the woman who I'll be on the phone to you, and you might hear me going, and the reason why you might hear me going, because I've got a Dynaband tied around my leg and I'm sort of doing a bit of exercise while I'm on the phone. So mm-hmm. It took a while to build the habit. Don't get me wrong, it didn't start overnight, but I just thought, I'm just going to start with one little thing. And my logo for the last 20 years has been the ripple effect, where you do something and it's like the cat. I don't know if you can see it behind me, but that's the logo and the card. But that's been my logo for 20 years, because I just suddenly thought, what is it I do for people? And I said, I know, I'm like a catalyst, and I'll do something, even if it's seemingly quite small. And then that continues to ripple throughout people's lives for decades. The reason I kind of designed what I do like that, and normally it only takes 5 minutes to do the things I ask of my clients, but I say, trust me, just do this for 5 minutes, do it for 7 days without moaning, then come back to me and let's talk about it. But by day seven, they're like, oh, this is cool. So it's, for me, it was that little and often approach. And I'm still kind of doing that now. So yeah, my thing is Pringles. I like Pringles and a thing called kettle chips. Mm-hmm. But I always have them on a Sunday when I'm watching Columbo. And so I'm like, I'll have them on a Sunday. Did have them last Wednesday, but I like, Marilyn, you know what's coming. Nothing for you on Thursday. So I made it like a game. It was a game, but it did work.
And you know what, Marilyn, I love the idea that you were talking about, especially in between commercial breaks, because that's also a great way for families who have children, especially during this quarantine time, to get some quality time together, as well as get some physical fitness right in between those commercial breaks. So I'm definitely going to take that with me with my own children, since I'm not really into video gaming, but we watch TV every now and again together, and just taking that little bit of time doing those commercial breaks can actually add up. You know, you get your physical fitness in while still having great family time. So thanks for that suggestion.
And Dr. April, one of the things that might start to happen, because you've got the family, is what you do it first, and then it becomes a thing like, okay, we did, I don't know, 5 star jumps in the last break. Could we do 7? Do you know what I mean? And then it becomes this kind of thing, and it actually can take on a life of its own, because that's what started to happen to me. I was like, okay, I managed 2 press-ups. Oh, good. But by like 10 weeks down the line, I'm like, Marilyn, you could do 20. Come on now, girl. So you can really have fun with it as well. And it doesn't even have to be exercise. You might say, look, we wanted to, let's tidy up. Oh my God, this is a mess. Let's see how much we can put away before the movie comes back on. You could use it in all kinds of ways to get other people engaged, for sure. Absolutely.
I love your fun attitude. I absolutely love it. I think it's fun. Things are doable. Things are fun. Things are bite-sized. You know, if you talk about what our logo, our slogan is, change your life for good. And that's big, but you can start small. You have to start small. Mm-hmm. You started cleansing with a glass of water, you know, Sharifa, or a juice. You started with one. You started with 1 commercial break, Marilyn. And that's the way to do it. I mean, when we create courses for like reframing your life story, it's a big one, right? But you can do it, and it's one step at a time. And I really believe that's the only way we can do it. Like building up our muscles, our abs, when we work out, but also our mental capabilities of rewiring ourselves, creating those little habits, one by one, not saying, you know, I can't run a marathon, therefore I shouldn't exercise. You can walk for 5 minutes, I'm sure. So let's start from there. And that's the approach we bring to Body and Soul really, because we're not sugarcoating. We're never saying, oh, it's going to be easy. That's a lie. Why would I lie to anyone? We're just saying, we have great faith in you. You can do this. And every one of you has been sharing such inspiring stories about things that you did that weren't necessarily easy, but you still managed to pull them off.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'd like to add to that is, if you do want to eat something naughty, like a pizza, why don't you say to yourself, I can only eat this if I make it myself from scratch. I'm not going to order it takeout. I'm going to make it all.
You lost me. You lost me.
Yeah. Because then you're spending like an hour, 2 hours making the thing. And so that's time spent not eating that thing. And so when you get it, you really deserve it. And you're going to enjoy it so much more because you made it yourself.
You see, my father would like you. He's always on getting on me about, or I order everything. Almost everything is delivered. And we have this conversation, debate all the time. And I'm like, well, someone somewhere went to culinary school. That was their dream. I'm here to help them live their dream. You know, why would I be a dream killer?
You are our dream customer, Sharifa.
I am. I really am. All the advertisements on television, they made specifically for me. All I have to see is one ad. And I'm buying it. It's food. As long as it's food, they can the all new potatoes and rice combo. Like, yeah, I've got to try that. That's me. But it was a good try, Natasha. I'll give you that.
Okay. Well, it might work for some people. Okay, you can eat what you want if you make it yourself.
We've definitely seen an increase in any sort of tutorial sort of video that we're posting on our social media. Mm-hmm. It definitely gets a lot more traction than just a photo. Like you said, it almost works like an advert. So people can pick and choose what they want to take from that tutorial. So we're definitely trying to use the Instagram and Facebook a lot more for that sort of traction.
And he did this Q&A thing on Instagram the other day, asked me a question. And there was just like, they just kept coming. And he just spent a whole night just answering people's questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? And so that was a really nice way of engaging with the followers and also providing like useful information.
I think a lot of people kind of know what sourdough is, but they don't necessarily know the process. Mm-hmm. So now that people have more time on their hands, they're reading more, they're sort of, apparently there's been a huge boom in sort of 20 something year old adults that have got the time, a bit more health conscious and want to sort of be cooking more at home. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can imagine this is a time of learning. This is an incubation period. Mm-hmm. So I've heard people learning different languages, learning how to sew. People just want to learn because more than anything, we have the time and people don't want to sit idle. So if they're forced to be at home, what can we do to be more productive? But I want to go to Dr. Lisbon and ask one of the things that you mentioned, especially about the children on the spectrum, is habits. I think I heard Marilyn and a few people mention the word habits. When you spoke earlier, Dr. April, you said things like getting up, brushing their teeth, getting ready for school, like those are their normal habits. How important is it to try to keep those routines the same? Like, you know, still getting up at the same time to get ready.
Those habits are still important because eventually when this all clears up, our children are going to have to go back to school. But what I would tell parents is don't try to force it. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody is right now in a state of high levels of anxiety because of the uncertainty of COVID-19. But what I will say is you can be flexible with the bedtime, you know? So if your child typically gets up at 7:30 in the morning and they decide to get up at 8 o'clock, it's okay because once again, the process is still the same. You're still brushing your teeth. You're still washing off, you're still getting breakfast. So you don't have to hold hard and fast on the rules. Now, there are some parents who are going to be like, well, my child is rule driven and they will come into the bedroom and wake me up if I'm oversleeping. And that's okay as well. You just have to be flexible and learn to create boundaries and space, even for children on the spectrum. For some parents, that can be hard for them because some of their children may have some behavioral issues, but setting reasonable boundaries, whether it's with visual cues, creating pictures online that you can get from the internet or through magazines, or even having your child to draw it. You can create visual schedules to help them to learn their new habit that's at home. You can also provide you know, something as simple as just walking them through the process. My son is a lot older now. He's in high school, but there are some times when he still comes into my bedroom extremely early. And I'm like, I said, I call him dude. I'm like, dude, it's you're not in school anymore. It's okay. You can sleep for a little bit. And he'll be like, oh yeah, mom, I forgot, you know, because that's a part of his script. And so what I tell him, it's that, you know, it's okay. You don't have to automatically come to my room because that's what you're normally used to doing. You can go ahead, use the bathroom, get your breakfast and all those things of that nature. And it's okay because mom is still here. You're still going to have your 9 o'clock start time to do your virtual learning. You're still going to get opportunities for your technology time. You just as a family have to decide exactly how you want to create your new normal at home. And just remind yourself that, you know, this is a new normal and it's okay if there are some flubs or some, you know, things that don't go right the first couple of times because they're not, you know, but once you get a rhythm, once you get a system in place, stick with it so that it keeps you and your child grounded throughout the process.
Wonderful, wonderful advice. I mentioned earlier, Marilyn, that you are an EFT and EMO practitioner. We didn't get an opportunity to discuss that, but I would love for you briefly to elaborate on what that is, because I had a follow-up question for you.
So I do about 20 different modalities. I started off with four, NLP, hypnosis, timeline therapy, and Hawaiian Huna. And then over the years, added loads of different modalities because I realized one size didn't fit all. So I wanted a bit of flexibility. And one of the things I like about EFT, the emotional freedom technique, for people who feel like they want to do something, because some people are just like, look, I'm just going to chill. My body's tired. My mind is tired. My soul is tired. You'll find me here. So those people
that's
like
me.
Chill. Cool, relax. And
that's
then there
me.
Are people who are like, I want to do something.
That's so not
EFT,
me.
The emotional freedom technique.
So California.
I love it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a good conversation. And with the EFT, it's a thing that people can physically, you're tapping on the body to kind of release stuck energy, or people can simply just tap what they call the karate chop point. With the emo trance, that's again, it's perfect for this time because the emo trance is about if you feel something in the body, so fear, anxiety, worry, all of these things are swirling around and many people are going through what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross would have called the grief cycle, where first you're like, what the hell is going on here? And I think the reason, you know, when Professor Taylor is saying we weren't acting fast enough, people are in denial. They're like, huh, what? They're kind of shocked that it could even be that because you only see it on the movies. Then you drop down into the anger, the fear and all the rest of it. We're seeing that backlash in the world now. People are either angry at those who are not self-isolating or angry at the government or angry about 5G or angry about this coming from all angles. And when people feel that in the body, I can say, okay, where do you feel that emotion? And the first thing is like, what? If they're not into their body. And I say, just close your eyes for a moment. Take a breath. When you think about the anger, the worry, the anxiety, where do you feel it? And they'll go, oh, and even if they're on Skype, they'll go, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm watching you. You've just showed me where it is. But then I'll say, okay, if you were to think about it now, and then they'll go, oh my God, it's here. And with the emo trance, the idea is you're saying, okay, if you could start to get what you need to learn from that and then release that, how would it leave the body? And I'm telling you, 10 times out of 10, everybody has an answer. They'll go, oh my God, it's sort of breaking up and it's sort of, you know, running down my chest and going out my legs, or, oh my God, it's gone up my head and it's gone out my ears. They'll say something. And they'll say, so if it could continue to leave the body, what route would it take? And how quickly could you do that now? And sometimes even by the time I finish speaking, people go, oh, it's gone. I feel much better now. I feel much lighter. And there was something like the Huna. And I did a call last night. We did like a free webinar. And I was doing something called Huna and Access Consciousness. People came onto that in a real state. By the time you finished an hour and a half later, you know, I went on Facebook today. People are like, oh my God, I feel so calm. I feel so relaxed. You know, I could feel all of the emotions. I'm clear now, because that's then about clearing the energy from the body. And you can do that remotely. You don't need to be in the same room. So all of them have the effect of moving the stuck energy, if you want to put it that way, out of the system. And one of the reasons you're doing that now is not just to resolve something, but when you've got all of that going on, it's really hard to think straight and to get a sense of perspective and to get a sense of clarity. So if somebody's feeling blocked or whatever it is, or they're holding the tension, release that, because I learned the hard way many years ago that the mind and the body do impact each other. And something that is mental can actually eventually much, and I'd like to hear Dr. Taylor's thought, Professor Taylor's thought on this one as well, but there are times where it would appear that those things then manifest themselves physically. So someone who's always angry, they've, you know, like got some ulcer problems, or somebody with the weight of the world on their shoulders, the back and the neck is stiff. And so all of these processes, whether it's the tapping and getting it out of the system, and you can do what they, there's different points that you can tap, or if you're just asking that energy to just release, and how would it find its route out of the body, and what do you want to put in its place instead? And I say, how would you like to feel? And moving people onto that conversation, well, do you know, I'd like to feel calmer, oh, more relaxed. Great. So what would you now need to do to feel more calm and feel more relaxed? And where would you, where is that located in the body? So we're back, almost back to that substitutions idea. Remove one, and now let's focus on another. So they're really nice, quick, easy processes to just help people move that stuff out of their physical body, out of their mind. And then there's more room for you, and you're back in what I would call more alignment, and you're more grounded.
Those are definitely words we need to hear today. We come down to the last few minutes, last few seconds of the show. And what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests a few brief moments to give a few final words to our audience. So we're going to start with Professor Talia. A few final words for us, please.
I want to tell everyone to be kind to themselves. These are difficult times. You know, I'm talking about learning new things, but I think one of the things we need to learn is to just breathe, is to chill, is to accept what where we are, to set realistic goals for ourselves. Please join me and use the resources I'm sending Sharifa and Marilyn. Once this is over, I'm coming to you to London, and you're going to tap me.
A few final words, Marilyn.
Oh, one of the things, as we've all been just talking, I'm kind of reflecting, listening to Professor Talia. I heard that there's a song in my head. I just heard, "We Walk, We Shall Overcome." And yeah. I'm not, you know, but I'm not big on religion, etc. But it's like, I know we will get through this. We're going to come out the other side. And so it's almost a bit like, keep the faith. Do what you need to do to keep yourself sane. Do what you need to do to keep yourself moving. Do what you need to do to keep yourself healthy. Do what you need to do to maybe reset and rest and recuperate, whatever that is. But also know that, a bit like Mother Nature, if you don't like summer, then, you know, winter comes, spring comes, all of the seasons, they come, they go. If we're in the midst of winter, we think we're not getting out of it. Oh my God, this is the worst winter ever. We're good at that in London. But then we know there's going to be a day like today where the sun is shining again. So I'd say to people, keep the faith that we will come through this. There is a time of uncertainty, but just think of all the things we've overcome in the past, both personally and in terms of the world, and just keep that sense, that light at the end of the tunnel, and what is going to help you then put one foot in front of the other as we all make our way there.
That's beautiful. Dr. Lisbeth.
Yes, ma'am. So for me, the one thing I would want to leave the viewing audience is this. Just remember, you don't have to be perfect in this process. Whatever you do, just don't quit. And when we think about everything that's going on around us, and as you listen to the news, it can actually put you in a space where you as a parent, or even your children, may feel like what they're doing is not good enough. I want to tell you that everything you're doing is good enough. You don't have to be perfect. Give yourself time and space to breathe and just enjoy it. Enjoy the quality time, enjoy the family time, just enjoy the newness of your new learning. Because as Marilyn has says, and as Dr. Talia has says, we're going to get through this process, but we have to do it one step at a time.
Amen.
That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we're going to give the few final words. We're going to give that last word to Ed. So go ahead, Natasha.
I let Tash take over.
I would just say, just live in the present moment, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Like for us, we don't know when we're going to be able to hire our staff back. We don't know when we're going to have to open our shop doors. That could be a massive stress for us. That could be a huge burden for anyone that's running a business. Or if you have a job, you don't know when you're going to go back to work, or you don't know when your next paycheck's coming. But at the end of the day, it's unknown. You can't do anything about it. So just enjoy today. Just do your best today, and try not to think too long term. You know, that's all you can do, really. This is all we have, is the present moment.
Oh yeah, just try and be compassionate and patient with, and help out. We've set up a small Facebook group within our apartment block. If anyone needs help, or if we're going to the store, and we can get something for them so they don't need to leave their house. We're just trying to help each other out and be neighborly. I think that's what we've noticed, is people now are sort of knowing their neighbors, you know, making that extra effort, which has been really nice. So look at the positives. There is a brighter future, hopefully, you know, we'll come out of this stronger.
Yes, I love it. So the lesson that we're learning is to love thy neighbor. And that's what all of us are doing here today. I want to thank you all for being guests on Tuesday's episode of The Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And I want to thank everyone who watched the show live, everyone who tuned in and watched it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. I'm just going to ask you to support the show and support our guests. I've added the links to the websites of today's guests. Please check them out. Please follow them on Facebook, on social media, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever they have. Please support today's guests. Support local businesses. That's what I'm asking of you. Go ahead and share this video. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we are out. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.